cry. Take a drug, but I'm on the hunt. Even awake the morning sky. Stare at the sun, do it for fun. This is the way I live my life. This is the way I live my life.
Greetings and salutations.
God damn it, man. How you going to step on my lines, man? How you going to step on my lines?
Oh, no, speaking of starting early, this is how we're beginning this podcast. Well, the pumping shall persist.
When do we get to put you over, Kenny? Like right at the beginning or at the end?
You could do it at the end.
I think you should call this episode Nihilistic Fisting. That would be a good title.
Time for...
What are you drinking? I wasn't ready for what you're drinking. Son of a bitch.
I was ready for SmackDown.
Step on me, buddy.
Oh, man. Okay. Mr. Bentley, huh?
Just don't piss me off.
Milwaukee! Are you ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fake, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
So why don't you choke on that, you big slap nut?
Woo! Oh, son of a bitch! If you just heard the glass shatter, that means we must be having another TriCast. Hey, before we get started here, DP, let's play the intro one more time, and we'll almost be done with the show then.
That sounds like a plan, right? Sounds like a plan. Reset.
Glad we could put that together. The TriCast deserves such a glorious intro. My name is DC Tunney, your commissioner and the commissioner of the United States of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. That would be DPP. Now a scientist.
That's science.
It's science.
Science.
It's science.
There you go. It's a fact. We also have Big Dave Unger from the Attitude of Aggression podcast. Dave, so good to hear your voice again. I never get to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, never. You never talk to me anymore. It's the return of nihilistic fisting.
Oh, shit. There we go. Love that. Top that, the man I'm going to bring in next. It is the one and the only, the legend, back out of wrestling retirement, but still podcasting strong, dadcasting, if you will. He is my main man from across the pond, none other than Mr. Slapnuts himself, Kenny Killa.
Oh, son of a bitch. The boy is back. Yeah, you did hear that glass shatter, so, you know, I had to come back into the airwaves, podcasting again with the boys. How can I miss a TriCast? No way.
Let's take it back in reverse order here. Kenny, real quick, we're going to get to all of this in a little bit more depth at the end, but tell everybody what you're up to and where they can find everything that you got going on right now.
Okay, so, you know, as people know, I'm no longer doing Sunday Segway, but I run an organization called Dadcast with the Mandem, which is a organization that, you know, kind of encourages fathers to talk about their kids. So we put on events and, you know, we do a YouTube show and we're on the radio and so on and so on. So you can find us at Dadcast WTMD on all social media. If you want to know what I'm doing, that's where you'll find me.
There you go. Plus taking care of the fam. You got a couple kids now, right?
I got two kids, man. Two kids married now as well. So, yeah, everything's all good, man. All happy days. But I'm on a bit of a 60-day journey at the moment. No sugar, minimal carbs. So I'm wasting away, man.
What about alcohol? Are you not drinking either?
Nah, man.
it's
called Witness the Fitness Challenge.
Say that T-shirt is probably pretty accurate then.
Looks like I'm drinking for Kenny tonight. Yeah. Speaking of drinking, let's move over to Big Dave over here. Dave, it's so glad to have you back. I mean, I do love talking wrestling with you. We do talk other things, though, once in a while now. So tell everybody about what's going on over at Attitude of Aggression and plug the new show, damn it. It's really good.
Yeah. On Attitude of Aggression, it's really just a lot of the same old stuff, recapping wrestling, got some good interviews, got some stuff coming out with the boys from Dynamo Pro. Actually talked to their first and ever reigning champion, women's champion at, what is she, like 540 days as champion now? That's pretty damn impressive. AEW needs to sign her. I keep saying that. I gotta start plugging that more. But other than that, yeah, I mean, the other show, the Bandwagon Nerds podcast, which PC Tunney has been a stalwart on a few times last week, just talking all things nerd based and movies. You know, we're doing our 80s project where we're recapping the best films from the 80s and talking. What are we running through? The Witcher. We've been running through that series. I'm really lobbying hard to do Crisis on Infinite Earths after The Witcher is done because that's phenomenal. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun talking nerd stuff. I mean, there's always been a lot of crossover between pro wrestling and nerd / geek culture. So it seems like a natural fit. We slip in a wrestling reference every episode, Tony.
And no doubt he'll yell at us, but that's okay. That's his job. I'm more a behind the scenes guy. When somebody can't make it, I'll help out. But Dave, speaking of being a behind the scenes guy for Bandwagon Nerds, Kenny over there looked pretty interested about a lot of the things you were talking about. I think maybe he'd have to find an hour to talk to you guys on Bandwagon Nerds sometime.
Hey, 100%, man. 100%. I'm a black geek. 100%. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. The Witcher, toss a coin, mate. Toss a coin.
Toss a coin.
I just finished it. It's excellent. Just so you know, they're already green-lighted for season two. There's going to be a season two. So
I'd heard there were like 7 seasons green-lighted for that thing.
Let's do it.
Surprise me.
And they're like swimwear, baby. Let's get to the last man that I haven't talked to, but I talk to all the time as well. None other than the scientist DPP. Anything for the boys here you want to mention real quick or talk about, or I don't know what you got going on. I mean, you got anything going on? No, you're good. All right, nice.
Yeah, start moving on. Moving on. I just want to point out that after listening to you guys talk about The Witcher on the last Bandwagon Nerds, we binge watched the entire season of that, and also binge watched the entire season of Mandalorian. So I am all caught up on all things nerddom. And I love it. Absolutely love both of them. I thought they were awesome. I'm looking forward to season twos for both.
Yeah, definitely. Now we got to wait forever.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing. The waiting.
That's the hardest part.
It's a Tom Petty song. The waiting is the hardest part.
All right, before we start the show.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. We all know what we're doing. DP, let's lay it out there, though. Let's make it official.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
It's the big Royal Rumble sheet.
Yeah, I mean, I even wrote the matches down and everything, so. I mean, that's pretty impressive, I think. Folks, we're talking about the Royal Rumble today, okay? We're previewing it, all right? If you want to know what the fuck's going to happen, listen up. Everybody here has been watching for a really long time. So, which, never mind. We probably get it all.
Yeah, yeah. How many of these have we gotten right?
Yeah, now that I've thought it. Fuck it. Let's not bring us down. DP, ring the bell. There we go. All right, gentlemen. Let's start off with Sheamus returning. Looking good. gets put into a program with Shorty G, I guess. I like Chad Gable. I don't like his gimmick. I don't really see what they're going to do here. I don't really see this giving Sheamus much of a boost. Does Shorty G win this match? Let's start with the guy we never get to talk to anymore. But I'm sure we still catch up all the time every once in a while, and I'm so glad he's back. Finally, some wrestling insight, and it all starts for you with Shorty G.
Don't you feel honored, Kenny?
Shorty G, really?
Oh, well, talk about Sheamus. Come on, man.
No. So Shorty G, I mean, again, like you, I like Shorty G. I like Gable, but I just don't like the gimmick. I'm glad to see Sheamus back. He looks rejuvenated. It's something that SmackDown's been missing, someone who's just a bit of a bully, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the Baron Corbin kind of bully. But yeah, it's. I think this is an interesting kind of feud to get Sheamus involved in, you know, just to kind of re-look at that kind of bully gimmick that he had previously. So it's the right thing to do, and he should just go over. He needs to be booked strong going into WrestleMania, just to have another buddy out there, and he should just be going over. But Shorty G, he should be in NXT. He should be in NXT just as Chad Gable, because what he's doing right now as Shorty G just isn't working, and it's an absolute piss take of the guy's talent.
Yeah, and it gives, I mean, I think it's more giving Sheamus a great worker to get back into the groove with, you know. I mean, Shorty G can wrestle. I'm going to call him Chad Gable. Fuck the Shorty G. Chad Gable can wrestle. You know, he's great in the ring. He's a great worker, and it gives somebody like Sheamus, a guy who has the endurance and can sell moves and can make Sheamus look like $1 million now that he's coming back. So I think it's a perfect opponent for him. I agree with you that he needs to, I think he just needs to go over, let Sheamus roll and become the big name he already is, but get him moved up the ranks quick and, you know, back into a title picture, or at least in a good program with somebody like Roman Reigns or something.
I think this is one of these situations where Shorty G puts up a good fight, makes himself look good. Sheamus kicks him in the face, and that's really all there is to it. I agree with Kenny that Shorty, don't call me Chad, needs to be in NXT. That's where he would be much better suited down there, as opposed to the SmackDown roster where you got giants like Sheamus, you got guys like Roman, you got, I mean, I know really, after what he did against King Corbin, how much is Shorty G going to gain from giving Sheamus a good match? I mean, I don't know. I figure this is just about putting Sheamus over, getting him some good competition at the outset. But yeah, yeah, this should be happening on SmackDown and not the Royal Rumble. I'm pretty sure of that. But that it is what it is. They need, I guess, they don't have enough filler between the two Royal Rumble matches. So let's throw Shorty G and Sheamus in there. But you know, me personally, I'm surprised Sheamus actually was able to come back. I had really kind of written the guy off. His neck was pretty bad. I thought, you know, that's pretty much it for him. But hey, more power to him, man. If it helps get him reintegrated in the whole thing, then I'm all for it.
All right, gentlemen, I think we've talked just enough about Shorty and Sheamus.
I'll fight him.
Let's talk a little Romans and Baron Corbin.
This is my yard now.
Balls count anywhere, gentlemen. I think that part of it, to me, I'm more looking forward to the match because obviously we got to have some outside interference with everything that's been going on with the Usos. You also have Ziggler around, et cetera, et cetera. Dave, right back to you. I mean, you see Corbin getting a victory here and maybe getting pushed to Mania, or it's just the springboard for Roman possibly even winning the Rumble later in the evening, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'll go with option B there. That this is Roman has done everything he can to put King Baron Corbin over at every single turn. I mean, how many other guys can say they've got pinfall wins over Roman Reigns on multiple occasions in the past 6 months since he came back from leukemia? But I think that ends now. I think it was fun. Hey, let's establish some other people. Let's create the illusion that and I don't hate King Corbin. I think he's done a good work. He's a good worker in ring. He's cuts good promos. He pisses people off. That's what he's supposed to do. But I think this event tomorrow is a lot about Roman Reigns and solidifying him as the man again, the big dog. This is just the first step. The Usos, there'll be a lot of outside interference going on. You know, the Usos will get involved. You know that Ziggler will get involved. There'll probably be other people. Who knows? You know, The Rock is going to get involved. No, just kidding.
But, the whole family.
Yeah, the whole damn family. I mean, you know, with Rocky Johnson passing away, maybe you get something like that. But I that's highly, highly, highly unlikely. But yeah, I think this is Roman's match. He's going to. It's way overdue for him to beat the hell out of King Corbin, and it happens tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean the guy's got, you know, dog food put on him. Like, what more could you say? Like, it's time for a sentence. You know what I mean? It's an interesting thing that's been going on with Roman Reigns. The fact that they've kind of put his push, I suppose, to one side to make sure that others can kind of come through, like Corbin, and that just not to piss the fans off, and that. I knew they were gearing probably towards the Rumble. I didn't want to, you know, kind of go towards that way just yet. But, you know, I knew they were kind of gearing up for him at the Rumble and that this ascendance will happen from here. So they needed to make sure that he was kind of on the peripherals, you know, whilst all this was going on. But yeah, it'll be a cluster. It'll be a cluster. Like, everyone will be everywhere. Literally, you'll just be seeing all kinds of madness happening all over that arena. You know, your Bobby Roode, your Ziggler's and stuff involved, like you said. But yeah, the right result is Roman going over. Definitely, he's taken too much shit from Corbin. But I have to give Corbin props because he has improved a lot over the year. He's a heel, and we're meant to hate him. And he loves it because we hate him. So there you go.
He does cook some mean ribs, though.
Does he? Doesn't put dog food
that,
on his ribs.
He had that video on. No, he doesn't put dog food on the ribs.
Whew, all right, good. Thank God. I think Roman Reigns will go over as well. If we see after that match that Roman Reigns gets destroyed by the four of them, I think Roman Reigns will end up winning and then getting beaten down after the bell by the four of them. And if he goes and gets carted off or something after the match, that's going to be your expectation that he's going to come back and he's going to win that Royal Rumble. That's probably what will end up happening if that's the case during that match. I feel like he's going to end up winning some Elimination Chamber after the Rumble to get that number one contender spot, because we'll see somebody else win the Rumble. But I agree with you guys. I don't know much more to say, but I agree that this is probably Roman Reigns' turn up to Ascension to get to that level for WrestleMania for whatever big match is set up for him.
Wait, did you just say he's joining the Ascension? Is that what you said?
I thought I heard the same thing.
Coming back, you don't even know. Connor and Victor.
Yeah.
It was all the plan from the beginning.
It would be an improvement.
Comic book out of nowhere, I'd be like, worst prediction ever. All right, gentlemen, I have a feeling we're going to be talking a little bit more Roman Reigns or possibly even Baron Corbin down the road at the end of the show. Let's get into the title matches. Andrade will be defending that United States title against Humberto Carrillo. Now, Andrade just had one hell of a fucking ladder match with Rey Mysterio, and then Carrillo comes out to continue that feud. I'm really looking forward to this match. I really believe in Carrillo. Do you see Andrade holding onto the belt here and having a long run with that? DP, let's start with you. Where do you see this title going?
I'd like to see, honestly, I think we're going to see a little bit of a flip-flop between these two all the way maybe up into WrestleMania, because I think they're going to put on a good feud. I think, you know, you saw, you know, Andrade and Rey Mysterio put on a hell of a match. I mean, those two are awesome workers. Carrillo looks like he's really good as well. And Andrade is just fantastic. He's one of my favorites right now. I think he's just killing it every time we see him out there. I'm hoping for even bigger and better things, but I think this is a great spot for him right now to defend that title. And I think Humberto Carrillo maybe winning it on an upset or something at the Rumble here, and then losing it back maybe at the next pay-per-view, and them kind of trading off wins between this maybe all the way up into WrestleMania, and they have their blow-off at WrestleMania. Because I don't see anywhere else for them right now, especially Andrade. I think he's in just the perfect spot. So I kind of hope that they're going to just flip-flop the title a little bit, gets them both over, I think, gets Humberto Carrillo a little higher up as a person, you know, that can really be a contender So I'm kind of hoping for that, like, all the way up until WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is weird. Like, when you're looking at these two guys, you know, you're looking at Andrade, that's my boy from day one, from NXT, you know. You look at how he's been treated so far, and I think that they've got big things for him, especially, you know, for Paul Heyman and Raw. You know, there's a few guys you can see that he's kind of trying to build up at the moment, your Drew McIntyres, your Aleister Blacks, and so on and so on. And I think he's trying to make that kind of SmackDown 6 thing again, where he's got a core kind of nucleus of people. Now, Humberto, I think he's got an issue where, you know, the fans, you know, it's almost at that first moment they were trying to kind of force him onto us a little bit, and the fans weren't taking to him that much. Well, I think with this storyline and how we kind of went out, it will help him, because Andrade and Zelina, they do great heel work. But I think ultimately this is going to end up being Aleister Black versus Andrade at WrestleMania for the United States title, just because we know the chemistry, you know, we know the history. And I mean, you know, Zelina's there. It just makes for a really good match. But at the Rumble, I think Andrade wins by DQ. Humberto wins by DQ. And this will help it continue to go forward.
Here's the thing about Andrade. With Brock's situation being what it is, the United States Championship is now the de facto title on Raw. So I don't see Humberto being the one to take the belt off of Andrade. I'm thinking like Kenny is that he was earmarked for a big push. They kind of dabbled with whether they were going to push him or they weren't going to push him. I didn't expect them to pull the trigger the day after Christmas like they did, but that was great. The match I'd really want to see, I like the idea of Andrade retaining here and then moving into kind of like a program similar to like leading into WrestleMania 34, where you had Seth and you had The Miz and you had Finn Balor going after the Intercontinental Championship. The match I want to see, I agree with getting Black and Andrade in there, but I want to add another guy into that match who's got unfinished business with Andrade, and that's Drew McIntyre. Give me McIntyre, Andrade, and Aleister Black. Triple threat at WrestleMania. You know, Drew can come after Andrade and say, I never paid you back for taking the title from me and tearing my bicep. That way you don't have to worry about the heel-face dynamic. You just have these three guys. I mean, I can imagine that match being like a potential show stealer at Mania. So I think Andrade wins here. Carrillo's a lot of talent. He's raw. He's the ultimate baby face. He's the baby face, that sort of thing. But I don't see, you know, Andrade's given him a few wins. He's looked good along the way. Sure, they dropped him on his head on some concrete, but I think this is Andrade's win, and they're just setting up for something bigger down the line with him. And I think Black would be great. And I'm hoping McIntyre gets involved because he deserves it as well.
I love the commentary. There's a whole lot of guys that fit well into this division. You can really build up that title that way. I mean, don't get me going with titles. I still think it would be much better. I know the networks wouldn't allow it, but if you just had one world champion that went back and forth between shows, whenever they were the world title, it's expected, title holder expected more of you. You know, if you did that with the women, you could also put an Intercontinental Women's belt on each show, but it just upgrades the value of the IC and the U.S. title where, hey, that's SmackDown's belt, that's Raw's belt, but that'll never happen. Each network needs to have their own championship belt right now, and that's just kind of the way it is. I don't know.
How's that working for Raw, right?
Never late. Last few Raws have been really good. Even Christopher Bledis.
They have.
So. All right, let's move on, and let's talk about a pair of women's championship matches. Let's talk about the SmackDown match first. We got Bayley taking on Lacey Evans. I think it's going to be one hell of a fight. You must have to know that if you're an intelligent wrestling fan, Bayley should be involved at some point here. Kenny, the rumors of Bayley versus Sasha at WrestleMania are rampant.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, how do you feel about that, and what kind of a or none at all could that be having on this matchup right here, Royal Rumble? We're kicking it off, the road to WrestleMania. It starts tonight with Worlds Collide minutes after we're done here.
Well, I think I think it's a good thing to kind of go back into, I suppose, because they've, you know, Bayley's turned heel, so it's the dynamics are slightly different, you know, than we would have thought it would have been when they first kind of went head to head. And you know, for the longest time they've been trying to recapture that magic at you know, at NXT between them, which we haven't quite got yet. So it's like, okay, let's put them together. But I would love to see that at WrestleMania. But it has, the storytelling has to work. It's about the storytelling. If the storytelling doesn't work, it's just not going to work. So we have to wait and see. Lacey, you know, she's improved as well. She's improved on the mic, especially. She's definitely improved on the mic. In ring, I still reckon there's a lot more work that she needs to do to be in the position that she's in right now. But I mean, in some regards, WWE are doing really good by the women, and in some regards, they're not. And it's hard because you're looking at these women on NXT. It's the best women in the world at the moment on NXT, and it should be replicated on the main roster. How do you have that? How on one hand do you have the best women's wrestlers in the world, and then on the other hand, you've got, you know, the women that you have on the main roster? Not to say that they're not good, but they're just not at that standard. They're not at that level. And if Survivor Series and all the takeovers don't show that, then, you know. But yeah, for Bayley, I think she should. It's a hard one to see whether she goes over here or not, because obviously you're talking about the stuff with Lacey Evans' daughter and all that, you know, and all that. But for me, it's Bayley going over here. Though should be Bayley going over.
But I don't understand what they're doing with Lacey Evans. I mean, I get when they had her heel, but trying to make her a babyface. I mean, I think they have. They stuck her with this stupid sassy Southern Belle gimmick when she's a legit, you know.
Yeah, real, they did, you nasty.
You nasty.
But she's got a legit background in you know, in the military. Why won't you play that up and you can make it real life and make it an actual thing, and she'd be more comfortable with that. I think it would get over well a lot better if she's going to be a babyface. Maybe it'll happen organically. Maybe they'll actually go that way. But like you said, she's not quite there yet. She's good. She's getting better, but she's not there. I think she's just at this point a credible enough opponent for Bayley to have somebody to wrestle, because there's nobody else. So they're not building anybody. They're not building that women's division up to have any more contenders other than you got Charlotte, you got Becky. You got, then on the other side, you got Bayley and Sasha hiding behind there, and that's it. You don't have anybody else.
Dude, there's zero baby faces. Zero baby faces in that women's division. Incredible.
When's the last time the tag titles were defended? They don't have tag teams. You have Asuka as half the tag champions going for the women's title on Raw because you don't have anybody else. So they need to do something, I agree.
The funny thing is you bring up the zero baby faces, and we talk about people that are back on SmackDown. I mean, the Usos are back. Naomi's a huge baby face no matter what she does, and she's really works really well in the wing. If you have that many heels on the SmackDown side, Dave, what do you do? Where do you go with this matchup?
Well, I mean, the only thing I could think is I agree Bayley goes over here. If they're going Bayley and Sasha at WrestleMania, then you got to figure, I mean, Bayley's always, yeah, she's a heel, but she's never been like Sasha level on a heel. It's kind of been like a soft heel turn. Okay, yeah, you slashed your Bayley buddies, but she still kind of has that sort of, well, I'm still a role model. It's like she's never fully embraced the dark side exactly. So flipping her back babyface, like Sasha does something to her, you know, to set this whole thing off, you could see them doing that. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I don't. Like you guys are saying, I mean, I think Charlotte and Becky count as baby faces, but that's on the Raw side, you know, and even that's not entirely clear as to what, you know, what alignment they actually are. But I think Bayley retains here. Bayley versus Sasha makes sense. I mean, the only thing that could kind of interfere with this whole thing is a couple things that, you know, we're going to talk about the Rumble, but there could be women coming up. If Shayna Baszler's coming to SmackDown, that changes the dynamics of things largely, because you figure, okay, she's going to run roughshod over everybody and take the title. If Ronda returns, that changes the dynamics of potentially either division, depending on what title she goes after, but we kind of know which one that would be. But yeah, I don't know what they do. I mean, like Kenny's saying, NXT's got just massive amounts of depth. I mean, you take the eight girls who were involved in the War Games match, although two of them never really got in the match, but even you take them out, and then you look at what they got going on in NXT UK with people like Toni Storm and Piper Niven and Kaylee Ray, and then you go on the main roster and you got the Four Horsewomen and Asuka, and then there's a massive drop-off in talent, like a abyss of a drop-off in talent. So, yeah, I mean, they got a problem. I don't want to see them doing it another purge of NXT to bring all these women up and really make NXT super weak, but yeah, I don't know, man. Nothing happening on SmackDown. I don't know how you guys feel. Nothing happening on the women's division on SmackDown really gets me that excited, and it hasn't for a long time.
It's funny, though, Dave. It's funny when it comes to WWE and the women's roster, because you're talking about the lack of depth, but the way they're churning them out in NXT is like, you know, if a few go up, they just got a few more waiting in the background to come and take their place. And I'm not just talking like, right, you know, we're talking like strong. So you're talking Shayna Baszler goes up and, you know, say, I don't know, Rhea Ripley go up. You got Chelsea Green and Donna Perrazzo like looking to come straight.
They've signed Mercedes Martinez. Now they're going to sign John Morrison's girlfriend probably. So now it's just a constant influx of talent on the women. They just change, and the men too. Let's not shortcut the men. NXT just, but you know, NXT is in a unique position where now you don't look at them as developmental, or you're not supposed to, but yet they still kind of are a feeding ground for the air quoting main roster. Although I don't know, amongst the four of us, do any of us think Raw and SmackDown is the main roster anymore? Tony does, but
I do.
Why?
Does NXT have their own touring television show?
Not yet.
Then there'll be a third brand.
With yet the operative word, but that's coming. I think that's coming this year. But as far as the match you're talking about, yeah, I think Bayley retains here. Sasha will help her out, and then we'll go from there. I don't think Lacey's corner woman being her daughter is really going to help her get the win in this whole situation. But I'm like you. I like Lacey as a face. I like what she's doing. She's very good on the mic. She's raw, and she's got work to do in ring. I think she picked up a lot from working with Natty as much as she did for those few months. But, I mean, I think there's got to be something bigger going on here than putting the belt. I mean, if let's see Lacey wins, then what? You know, I always do that with these matches. Then what?
She loses it back the next week on TV.
The next night. Yeah.
No, she wins. She wins, and then she gets up on the USS Intrepid and gets her own coach and goes on the Lacey Express tour of America. Awesome. And then
Lacey Luger, baby. Lacey Luger. The only problem with that would be Kenny, the only problem with that is Lacey would actually be a champion though.
Then she'll show up in AEW and she'll body slam Austin Kong, you know, and that'll set off the whole damn thing.
All right, folks, we got to get to the other women's championship match. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. And yeah, you know, Kenny, if you don't mind helping me out, we'll be back in 22 seconds.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Fairly certain that was a solid 22 seconds. So we are back. We're talking about Becky Lynch. Kenny, thanks for helping me out with the plug right there. Let's kick it right back over to you. Becky Lynch, arguably the wrestler of 2019, in a lot of people's opinions, whether or not you're talking in-ring, but overall.
Our opinions. Not Dan's.
Really? Did I? Is that who I picked?
That's who you picked. That's
who you picked. Is it? Really? Come on, I got to go back. Hold on, though. Really? No, I picked Kofi.
Really? Oh, for women's wrestler of the year.
Oh, Becky. Yeah, Becky I did. Overall, though, I mean. Some people thought overall. But Kenny, we're going towards WrestleMania. There's a strong chance we could be seeing Becky and Ronda, possibly. Maybe we get Asuka and Ronda. I don't know. Big matchup here, probably the matchup I'm looking forward to most in the ring. Thoughts on Becky and Asuka?
I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to this match. And it's, again, this one's been weird because they've been pushing Becky to us, saying that, you know, she wants to fight everyone and she's the man and all this stuff. But then yet they're coming back with, oh, she's struggling to come to terms with the fact that she lost. With it's just, it's, I just find the whole build a bit backwards, because what they're doing with Asuka now, with Becky pretty much kind of heating her up and saying that, you know, Asuka's the best and yada yada yada, that should be done ages ago. It shouldn't have taken all of this stuff that's been happening now for her to then go and win the tag titles and all of that and then get this shot now. It's just so backwards. But I digress. The match is going to be really, really good. And that's because of Asuka. I do like Becky, but I just think her in-ring has been failing. And it's maybe because of the partners that she's been kind of, you know, going toe-to-toe with. But I think this match is going to be very, very interesting. Becky will go over. But I just think this should be a shot in the arm for Asuka. And they've done bad by her. She should be at the highest level right now in the company, and it's a shame that she isn't. But yeah, Becky to go over.
Wait, Kenny. You think that by having her lose to Carmella because she got her head shoved into a shark cage was doing her wrong? I haven't talked to you in a while, so I'm just guessing that you didn't agree with that booking decision.
I did not. No. Okay.
All right, I'm just checking. Look, yeah, I think Asuka should be at a different echelon entirely. I mean, their match last year when Asuka beat Becky may have stolen the whole damn show. And in a pretty loaded Royal Rumble, I expect this one to be just as good. But yeah, Becky's going to get her win back, and they may stretch this out a little bit. But Becky's got to be. She's got to go to WrestleMania as the women's champion. She's got to have the title for a year. I expect her to drop it in Tampa. It's just a question of to who or to whom or anything like that. But, this will be good. Asuka will come out of this thing looking really well. Her and Kyrie have actually added some credibility to the women's tag titles up until the point that Kyrie got hurt. But now she's back, so they can start defending the titles again. You got to figure Nia Jax is going to be back pretty soon. That might add some, you know, maybe she has a team that she gets in there to challenge the Kabuki Warriors at WrestleMania or something like that. But yeah, I think this is Becky's match. This is where she gets her win back. It should be an excellent match. I hope Asuka comes out of this thing looking pretty strong, but I expect Becky to win this thing. I mean, I hope she pins her and doesn't tap her out to that disarmer, but you know, what do I know? Because they always do the opposite shit with me anyway, so... But yeah, I agree with Kenny. Becky wins this thing. I think she has to. It's just the bigger story is longer term booking on this thing and where they're going for Mania with her.
EP, why don't you dive in there head first and finish off Becky and Asuka for us?
I'll play with you, Becky.
You saw him. He had that queued up for like 2 minutes. He was ready to go. This match is the definition of what's wrong with the women's division, like you were talking about. There's no opponents for anybody right now, and they had to bring Asuka back from the tag title division, you know, to have a match right now. And I agree, like this match should be WrestleMania worthy. This should be for the title of WrestleMania. Asuka and Becky one on one would be amazing. I know they probably have a bigger plan for Becky if somebody like Ronda Rousey's coming back or Shayna Baszler's coming up or something, you know, something like that. But, I mean, Asuka versus Becky was, like you said, Dave, was one of the best matches last year, was a potential show stealer. That match was great. Why not go back to it at WrestleMania? And it's because there's nobody else. There's nobody else right now for them to fight. And they have to use it as basically almost filler to get to WrestleMania, which is unfortunate. But, at this point, yeah, Asuka and Kairi Sane with the tag titles, they're going to be moving on to something else, and Becky's going to be moving on to WrestleMania. So I have seen no reason why Asuka would win this match at this point. It's got to be Becky going on and defending that title at WrestleMania.
I'll tell you the match I want to see is Shayna Baszler versus Asuka. I want to see the two most dominant NXT women's champions of all time get into the ring with each other and throw down. Now, as much as I want to see Asuka and Ronda, I think they're going to go Ronda-Becky if Ronda's coming back. But yeah, give me Shayna Baszler versus Asuka And yeah, I'd be like, okay, take my money. But again, they're not thinking that way, so I digress. Go ahead, guys.
I'm not. No, we're done. That's a great way to finish the topic right there. I mean, shit, Becky and or Asuka and Shayna. Yeah, I'm in there like swimwear. Yeah, take my money. All right, let's go on. Dave just blew my mind. I'm like, fuck, I want to see that shit, Vince.
Can I have some of your money, Tony? Just checking.
Dave, if I had your money, I'd burn mine. Let's move on to the next topic. Here we go. After the blue Universal title match, could we be hearing once again? Or will we be hearing? Gentlemen, I'm looking forward to this match. I'm not looking forward to the red light. Dave, your thoughts?
The red light? You already know my thoughts on the red light. Didn't that Hell in a Cell match get my disappointment of the year at the Swaggy Awards?
Red light!
I want to go out there. I want to go on a limb.
Ray, you don't have to sell your soul to the night.
Johnson!
Yeah. That was a sting. Get it?
How'd you come back with that? He took it high, like real high, with that Roxanne.
You don't want to know what Tony was grabbing onto. So look, I wanna go out there. I wanna be a believer. I wanna say that Daniel Bryan is gonna win this damn thing and beat the Fiend and take the Universal Championship, but I don't think that's gonna happen. The Fiend is what's Daniel gonna do different here? That he didn't do at Survivor Series, you know, when he couldn't get the job done at Survivor Series, and the haircut's going to make the Tunney's referencing the haircut is going to make the difference. I see, because he'll be what, lighter and aerodynamic and a little bit faster. It's not gonna happen. The Fiend's winning this thing. Daniel, I don't know, you know, exactly where they're going to go with Daniel, other than it's another problem that they have, you know. DPP talked about like filler, like this is like a transitional sort of thing to get to wherever they're going with Daniel Bryan or with the Fiend and likely whoever wins the Rumble. I would imagine that's what they're going to go with that. But I mean, I want to drink the Kool-Aid. I want to say it's Daniel Bryan's title to win. The Yes Movement returns with Daniel on top. But again, if Daniel wins, what then? That's the question I keep asking. Other than, you know, they tease Daniel versus Roman as a possible thing if Roman wins the Rumble and Daniel beats the Fiend. But yeah, I don't know about. I mean, I kind of want to see that, but not exactly. So I think the Fiend wins here. I want Daniel to win. Don't get me wrong, but the Fiend is red hot. He hasn't really slowed down. Now you've got two personalities. You got the Fiend. You got Bray Wyatt. Who's going to show up? We're not really sure. It's like the Freebird rule in reverse, that sort of thing. We're not sure which personality is going to show up this damn match. But, yeah, the Fiend wins this thing. That's my call. Yeah.
This smells of Brock Lesnar versus Hardcore Holly 2004. Like, this. That's what it smells of. Like,
wow.
It's filler to the highest point. Like,
you still remember what that smelled like?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've met Hardcore Holly, so of course.
He's got two kids. He knows what that smells like.
but it's baffling. How are you going to have a feud with Daniel Bryan, make him go away, have a feud with The Miz, then bring Daniel Bryan back? That smells of filler, 100%. So, yeah, the Fiend's going to go over, and it's going to be to face whoever he needs to face, the winner probably of the Royal Rumble at WrestleMania. But I'm done, man. Like, I swear down, WWE in every instance, it looks like, just don't know how to write for certain people, because they had it right. They had it right, right at the beginning. Like, they had it right. He came back. He had this amazing tune. He had bloody his own kind of, lantern face thing. People were freaked the fuck out. And then you go put a red light in the match. Like, what is going on? Like, you had it all there. You had the mystique. You had it all there. And then they just too much. It's just keep it simple. But it's just done too much. And it's effed it up. I mean, you look at Daniel Bryan. To make him go away, they made him go under the ring and cut his hair. Like, what is that? Like, we're in 2020. Like, what is that? I just don't get it anymore. I don't get how he's paying these guys. Well, I do know, because he has the final say. This is his thing. It's funny to him. It's great to him. These things. It's so, yeah. Anyway, I digress. Fiend goes over. He goes over clean. It finishes that feud. Daniel Bryan goes on to something else. And then we have to live with the red light up until WrestleMania.
Well, and they gave him the title too early. You know, you're giving the Fiend the title. There's nowhere else for it to go until he loses. And you can't. Where else do you go? You can't have him lose at this point. Otherwise, that there go the entire mystique is completely gone, and it's worthless now because you've literally trapped yourself in this corner. You have nowhere else to go until he loses. Yeah, until you wanted him to drop that title.
And there's literally no heat behind any of these title matches. Absolutely nothing. It's Arctic. The heat amongst any of these title matches. No, I mean, maybe Becky and Asuka has a little bit, but other than that, nothing.
Are we gonna have Randy Orton against the Fiend and Bray Wyatt again at WrestleMania and have some shitty maggots on the floor of the ring and, you know, the terrible lighting that they did there too? I don't know what else to do. I mean, you really killed yourself with this one, I think. And I don't know what their plan is. I mean, how interesting would it be if the one guy that finally takes out the Fiend, because it's going to happen at WrestleMania, I would assume, if it's going to happen anywhere. But what if The Undertaker comes back and takes the title, the Blue Universal title, as I call it, because it's the Blue Brand Universal title now. Who takes the Blue Universal title, and Undertaker holds it and does a Brock Lesnar thing in his last final run?
Taker needs to stay away from the ring. Just done it. Just finish it.
Should have been 2 years ago.
Stop affecting your legacy. Just finish it. Like, just leave it alone. But again, DPP, like, this is the issue. WWE are failing to make stars, like, because they concentrate too much to putting all their eggs in one basket. They're really not kind of, they're trying to do it now, but it's just so hard. They keep going to the past. They keep going to the past to kind of prop up their roster. So then when the past goes, no one cares. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's annoying because we're going to get the same thing at the Rumble probably. And then what? It builds up again for WrestleMania. And then what? Like, they're not building anyone up. And what we need to see from these next few months, yeah, is that leading into WrestleMania, your Aleister Blacks, your what's it called, your Drew McIntyre's, you know, even your Buddy Murphy's, like, all these guys, you know, they need to be pushed to make sure that when they do get in the main event, they're seen as credible contenders. Look at Ray. Oh, my days. Ray come back, and he's gone into a main event picture with Brock Lesnar, and it was amazing. You know what I mean? It was good. But he's a guy from the past. You need to give the same things to the future. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Finn Balor had to go back down to NXT. What the hell?
Yeah. All right. I feel like you guys are chomping at the bit to talk about the real reason we're here. The real reason we love January in WWE. My favorite pay-per-view of all time. My favorite concept of all time. Number of possibilities. Kenny's throwing up the double heart right there. EP, he was disgusted. He left.
Yeah, he just bailed.
I've had enough.
Let's do it. Let's get right into it. Oh, I wish I had some kind of really good sound here. But for me, I'll start it off just like this. We'll start with the women's. And, man, I really wish I could find this sound. Gentlemen, I needed that because I'm going to make a real bold prediction here. And I kind of let the cat out of the bag on the Twitter yesterday on purpose. I got the one and only Charlotte Flair coming out number one and winning the whole damn thing. What do you guys got for the Women's Royal Rumble?
Oh, man, that's a shout. I got Ronda.
Ooh, there you go. I like that.
To face Becky. That's how we get them there. But yeah, I got Ronda. I mean, I think that's a good shout for you. You know, Charlotte coming in number one and winning. A woman hasn't done that yet. We haven't had that for a while, even in the men's. So, you know, why not? Why not? Yeah, they always try to one-up her man, her dad, sorry. You know, he, was it number 3 spot? He came in, and then he won the Rumble in 92. Yep. So, yeah, he could be right. Dave?
I like the idea about Charlotte coming in one, running the table and winning, but I tend to agree with Kenny. I think it's one of two people. I think it's either Ronda coming back and winning, or it's Shayna winning this thing. Because, look, if Charlotte wins, this is this should be the title of this episode. What then? Let's say Charlotte does win the title. Who's she going to go? Is she going to challenge Becky? I mean, are we going to get another Charlotte-Becky one-on-one match at Mania? That's not going to happen. Is she going to challenge Bayley? We've seen that 100 times, so that... Hold on, Tony's got some idea there. What do you got?
I got her going and challenging Sasha after Sasha beats Bayley.
You know that,
I don't think we're going to get Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania. I think we're going to get Sasha and Bayley at the next pay-per-view after Sasha whatever interferes. Now
here's a thought. If Charlotte wins, what if they pull something completely unexpected and she challenges, assuming she wins tonight, she challenges Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship at like TakeOver Mania or something like that to solidify NXT.
I like that even better. There, thank you for finishing my thoughts. That's how much Dave and I work together nowadays.
But
I love every minute of it. I love every minute of it.
But I agree with Kenny. I think it's
Ronda.
If she comes back. And otherwise, it's Shayna.
I like what you said there, though, Dave, because if you look at the story, WWE doesn't tend to do that, but if they look at the story, you know, you had Shayna beat, she beat, what was it? Who did she beat? She beat Becky and Bayley, didn't she, in the at Survivor Series. So if she comes to the Rumble and wins, you know, you're continuing that story. She, you know, she beat them, so now she gets to pick one. And you kind of, you know, go from there. And if Shayna does win and go after Bayley, Shayna versus Bayley at WrestleMania, and then you've got Rousey versus Becky, that is credible and that holds up. But where does that leave Charlotte? She'll probably get herself in, you know, in again somewhere. But, you know, Tony?
Could you have Ronda and Shayna, one Raw, one SmackDown Women's Champion at WrestleMania, kind of like your Eddie and the he who, in the words of CP, he who shall not be named moment.
Can you imagine, though, at some point during the Rumble, what if Ronda and Shayna are the last two left? Man, they'll blow the roof off that place. There's no roof there. They'll blow the cameras from the sign-stealing shit right off of the Minute Maid Park.
Here's how you're going to know whether or not Ronda Rousey's in the Women's Royal Rumble. If the Women's Royal Rumble goes off last, expect it. If the Women's Royal Rumble goes off any other place besides last, you will not be seeing Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey will be the biggest star at the Royal Rumble if she shows up.
I agree.
Unless it's Edge.
DP, you got that. Play that fucking Edge music. Come on, though. We want to hear it. That'd be so awesome. We would all pop.
Give me that altar bridge.
On this day. Don't make me sing.
To get me started.
I know he's got it. The good folks listening will wait. In the meantime, how about this old Edge and Christian classic?
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
Fucking A soda.
Dude, if this guy comes out, I'm crying. That's it. I'm telling you now. Tears will fall down my face.
Let's get into it.
We're talking about Edge. What if Paige comes back too? No one cares
what you think about the Royal Rumble, DP.
What if Paige returns as well?
Unmute yourself, DP.
Well, there you go. That's probably the problem. Like, you get talking to nobody here.
why is everybody ignoring
you? You sons of bitches. What are you going to do? You're going to listen to every word I have to say.
Nobody lets me in. I keep starting and nobody lets me in.
Laura's your
hey, finish your, hey, finish your thought before we get to the DP. We'll move on to the men's.
Now we're talking about Edge returning, what if Paige is coming back as well? I mean, even in a Rumble match, she could be protected to the point that she wouldn't have to risk too much. But she would get a massive pop as well. But yeah, I agree with you, Tony. If Ronda's coming back, that Women's Rumble is going on last.
Yeah, it pretty much has to be. I mean, that's the only option. And I agree with you guys that Baszler and Rousey are probably the only two options right now to win this thing. And Baszler could win, and she's talking about being Shayna, you know, three-peat over in NXT. She could also challenge Rhea Ripley for the title and not want to move to the other rosters and do that too. So the other option I see is maybe Sasha Banks wins that thing, and you get that feud between Banks to Bayley, and Banks, you know, Bayley's all happy because, oh, Banks can go to Raw and we can both be champions, and then she turns and goes, fuck you, I'm taking your title. So that could happen. That's the
Evolution
only
thing. Evolution again.
Yeah, the only thing I see, though. That's it.
All right, folks, we're chomping at the bit once again to talk and move on to the next subject, the Men's Royal Rumble.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That's the main story of the Royal Rumble, right? That's the main story of this entire pay-per-view, which leads me to believe that I don't think we're going to see Ronda Rousey. I think Ronda Rousey is going to boost the shit out of ratings for Raw or SmackDown, and it's going to be advertised as fuck. I think it's a waste to have Ronda Rousey come back and be surprised there. So Brock Lesnar is your guy. The whole night story is about Brock Lesnar being number one. This is the only thing they've built up for this pay-per-view. We've talked about it on this show. There's no build. There's no heat on anything else. The only thing they've really built, and the guy's been there more than he's ever been there in the last 3 years. He's been at the last, what, three Raws? I mean, think about that. Does Brock Lesnar win the Royal Rumble, Dave?
No, he doesn't. And in an ideal world, let me tell you this, Brock comes out number one. Here's my ideal first three guys. Matt Riddle comes out number two. Goldberg comes out number three.
Matt Riddle?
Bro.
All right, I got
you, Goldberg. Can you imagine those three guys in there to start this thing off? That place will go nuts, man.
Dave, I have my PW scorecard, right? I have Goldberg coming up number two. That's what I have, because the person who comes out second has to get you pumped for the rest of the Rumble. It can't be no one like your Jinder Mahal or whatever. It's got
our
to be someone.
R-Truth at number two. Fuck that.
Kane's gonna be there.
Oh, come on.
Oh my God, it's Kane.
It's gotta be Kane. No, I mean, you could bring Roman out number two, but that would just be a waste. You know, I think you want to keep Roman later on, but I want to see Riddle come out. Or Goldberg, 2-3. But you get those three together.
Number two.
Shit. Yes. No. The place would just, I mean, the Minute Maid Park would literally implode if CM Punk's music hits and he comes out. I think it'll be Riddle. I mean, maybe if they brought out Keith Lee, the brand new NXT North American champion, to throw him up against Brock right off the bat.
Keith Lee. Woo,
man.
Keith Lee.
But, I don't think Brock wins this thing. I mean, if Brock wins, then what? I mean, unless he's going to challenge The Fiend. I mean, now if it's Brock versus The Fiend at WrestleMania, is a WrestleMania-worthy main event. I would give it that, but I just don't see them going in that direction.
Unite Brock, that world title, baby.
Huh?
Unite that world title, baby.
There you go. There you go. It's your wish, Tony. But, no, I don't think Brock wins this thing.
I think you're going to...
Go ahead.
Can you close this one out? I think you're going to see... I don't think we're going to get anybody big at number two, in my opinion. I think we'll get somebody big at number four or five. I think you're going to see three guys come out that Brock Lesnar can just toss around, a guy like Shorty G or, you know, somebody like that. I think you're going to get R-Truth at number two so they could do their comedy bit again or something like that.
See, that would be big. I like that.
I think they're going to do something like that. And then when number four hits, or number, I think number five, I think we're going to get to five. When five hits, and I agree, I would love to see, Matt Riddle was on my list, Keith Lee is on my list. I think Pete Dunne, a showdown with him and Pete Dunne, I think would be a huge, if they get a good response. I think what they're looking for is a response that they're going to get from the crowd when one of these guys comes out. And when they do their showdown, is it
Adam Cole, baby? That would be awesome.
No, Walter. Dude, if
Walter is on my list.
Yes.
Walter got Lesnar. Oh my god.
Walter is my fourth, and Cain Velasquez is the other option, I think. You know, but that might be down the line during the match. But I think, yeah, Walter was my other one on the list. But I think they're looking for a reaction from a standoff. Maybe Strowman comes out too. It might just be someone as easy as Strowman. But, you know, it's going to be something like that where he costs out a couple guys, and they have this showdown, and then that's where the struggle starts, and then we go on. But it's going to be somebody like that, and they're looking for where they're going to go for WrestleMania. But I'll finish it off with, it wasn't a prediction, it was a spoiler, and I still think the winner of this thing is going to be Brock Lesnar. He ain't going to be in the ring for 60 minutes, because somebody's going to toss him out, throw him through a table, and he's going to have a good 40-minute rest laying on the side of the ring like that. But I still think he's going to be in there at the end, and he's going to win this thing. Because until now, I know they talked about the spoiler and how the spoiler's never lost, but I don't think this is the point when the spoiler is incorrect. The spoiler's been 100%, so I can't bet against it. Just like the Patriots in the playoffs. Until they finally lost, you can't bet against them.
So your official pick is Brock Lesnar, then?
My official pick would be Brock Lesnar. I got a dark horse of Drew McIntyre winning this thing.
It's funny, because if Brock Lesnar is going to win the whole thing, why not have him eliminate every single person before the next person even comes out? Just run through 29 guys. I don't care who they are. The other guy's feet touch the ground. They're out of the fucking ring before the countdown even starts. Do it 29 times.
That would be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, why not?
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. I would have absolutely no problem with that.
You're going to have him win. I'm not going to have him win. We'll come back around the horn with official predictions here. Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is going to win here. It makes sense for Seth Rollins to be able to take the title from him at WrestleMania. He has the backing of AOP. He's got Buddy Murphy with him. You're not just putting Seth Rollins over. You're putting the rest of that group over, and those other three guys really need it. Seth's great as a heel. I understand Brock's been working heel. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But what's the difference? Why can't he be this person that people are eventually going to cheer because he's this jackass messiah on Monday Night Raw? Sounds a whole heck of a lot like another guy who recently came back on WWE backstage. So that's my prediction. Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Kenny, you want your prediction here?
I'm going to defer to Kenny. He's the man. I'm just grabbing on his coattails here. So I want Kenny to see what he says.
This Rumble is going to be, it's going to be funny. I think it's going to be like a history lesson. So there's going to be periods in the Rumble where you're going to have Lesnar's old rivals. So, you know, you may see Samoa Joe come out at number two. You may see, you know, Goldberg come out at number 30. You may even see, you know, Lesnar throw, you know, everyone out, to the point that when number 30 does come down, it's just Lesnar and number 30. And whoever number 30 is, it's just going to be one hell of a showdown. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'm really glad that they decided to go this route, because now there's a story in the Rumble. And it's made it so unpredictable, because the build's been so shit apart from this story. So it's just made it really, really unpredictable. So I'm looking forward to it. My winner, though, so my person to throw out Brock Lesnar is Riddle, but the person to win is Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I like the idea about all of Brock's rival. If you're going to bring Undertaker back, have him get in there with Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's something we haven't seen in a while. Have Taker eliminate Brock. That would be kind of interesting. But I ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to be Roman Reigns. I think this is Roman's Rumble. I'm concerned that, you know, if Roman wins, then maybe he should lose to Corbin early on, because you don't want it to just be too much Roman, because the fans will turn against him. It doesn't matter that he came back from leukemia. Sooner or later, people will get pissed off at the thing, and they're going to say, you know, oh, that's really – there. People are going to be like, oh, that's really original. You gave Roman Reigns a win. You got to get him back in the main event scene sooner or later. And I think this is a time to have Roman reestablish himself as the big dog. I could see him being the one to eliminate Brock at the end, because, you know, if he comes down to the end and it's Roman and Brock, yeah, bet your house that Roman's winning that thing. That, you know, I mean, it's they need to get back to where they were with Roman Reigns before the leukemia started in, and then go from there. But obviously the landscape's changed, but I'm with Kenny. I think this is Roman's match to lose. I could see Brock winning. I could see McIntyre winning, you know, guys who are dark horses. I mean, I'd love to say, yeah, Adam Cole comes in there at one and or at two and runs the table, that sort of thing. That'd be great, but that's not going to happen. I think it's Roman Reigns' match to lose.
DP, I got one last question for everybody. That means it must be time for Last Call.
Let's go.
Every week with this guy, it's the same fucking question. Doesn't he get it? It means it's the last topic of the show. Anyway, whatever. All right. This is going to be a real quick... You get it, Kenny. Don't look at me like that. I couldn't resist. Okay, here we go. Last call. Real quick, around the horn, because I do want to get to what everybody's... In a little extended promoting ourselves, what everybody's got going on and coming up. Who do you want to see a surprise entrance? We talked about Edge, about the women's side. Do you see anybody big coming back there? I more so on the women's side see more NXT being involved since there's a whole ton of talent down there. Men's side, I'm pretty certain Kane's going to be there. Who else could we see over there? I'm not really sure. You guys said Goldberg. That would be really cool. But could this be one of the Rumbles where we don't see a lot of surprise entrants? I don't know. You guys' thoughts. Let's start off with DP, and we'll kick it right around that horn.
I really don't think we're going to see a lot on the men's side, in my opinion. They've already announced 22, I think, entrants or 23 entrants, and that's not even including NXT guys. So, you're, I mean, and if you're going to make NXT a third brand, you got to populate Royal Rumble with some NXT people. Otherwise, what's the point? Then who cares about them? They're only going to be important come Survivor Series when they, you know, when we do the three on, you know, the three different brands going against each other. So, I see a lot more NXT guys out of those seven that are left. Obviously, with the rumors of Edge, that's pretty much the only guy I care about at this point. I want to see Edge. If he comes back, I'm on the same boat as Kenny. I will tear up and throw my hands in the air and just love shit because that's my boy too. I love Edge. So I would love to see him come back. Maybe Christian. Maybe we see Christian come back too. And maybe they build up to something at WrestleMania if Edge is healthy enough, literally healthy enough to have a match or two. Him and Christian as a tag team would be awesome. Hey, why not? Let's bring back the Dudley Boys. We got the Hardys. We can have a whole another reincarnation of, you know, 20 years ago, the 20-year anniversary of the Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match from WrestleMania. Here we go. Let's break all our necks again.
Yeah, so I was about to say, DP wants to see an in-ring death. You want to see somebody actually die in the ring.
So. Yeah. That's really it. I think if rumors of CM Punk coming back, I don't see him coming back at Royal Rumble. I see him coming back at the Raw, either the Raw after or a build up to it. If he's going to be involved somehow, like Ronda Rousey, like you said with Ronda Rousey coming back. If they're not going on last, Ronda Rousey's going to come back at a wrestler, a Raw after the Royal Rumble, and I think that's a perfect spot for either one of them. So, other than Edge, I have good care. I don't know nobody. I don't see anybody else really. That's it. Big Dave, what do you got?
Oh, man. I mean, Paige would be cool, but kind of unlikely on the women's side. I mean, I think, yeah, they could get people like Bianca Belair needs to be in the Rumble, Mia Yim, Dakota Kai. I'd like to see them really populated a lot with the NXT talent on the women's side. What's up, Tony?
Could you see Taya being one of those surprise entrance at the Rumble?
No, just because half the people there will be like, who? That sort of thing, and I don't think that they want to put her in that position. It's not like AJ Styles, where everybody in the world knew who AJ Styles was. I'm trying to think women-wise. I mean, maybe Beth Phoenix, but that's not much of a surprise. That's almost expected at this point in time. I don't know much about the women other than Ronda would be the biggest surprise of all. The men, yeah, I'm with you guys. If Ed shows up, I'll be crying, you know, like a little girl, that sort of thing. I could see Goldberg. I could see Undertaker. I could see even maybe somebody like Bautista. I know I say that every damn year with him, but this might be the year since he's going into the Hall of Fame. Maybe they do something like that. I don't think it's going to be Punk. Maybe Jeff Hardy, depending on what his condition is, what his status is. Maybe they bring him back or something like that, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he is. But the men's. Yeah, I think you get some NXT guys in there. I think Keith Lee for sure. This wouldn't be, I mean, it's, he almost be expected, But I'd love to see the demon Finn Balor show up in the Royal Rumble match. We haven't seen him break out the demon since he got to NXT. So have him come out as the demon. Those lights, those people would go nuts. He's not going to win, but it's not really a loss if you lose at the Royal Rumble. I think Finn's definitely going to be in the match in some capacity. Walter's somebody who I would expect. I do expect Adam Cole to be in there. Pete Dunne's a good choice. But I don't see. Last year they didn't have hardly anybody as far as surprises. Oh wait, Kenny Omega's going to show up in the Rumble. That would be a big ass surprise, right? No, that's not happening either. So I don't see there being really surprise heavy. There's so much depth on there that really, if you bring back a lot of surprises like nostalgia acts, it just dilutes what you've got going on anyway. And I know they like to shit on their roster enough, but not here. Let roll with what you got, and hopefully that gives you enough of a good show.
I think the same. I don't think there'll be a lot of surprises, if we do get Edge, you might get a sneaky Booker entrance, but I don't, they've announced 22, so you got to think that I think this one's more about returns. They've got a lot of people out injured. So I think this one's more about returns than anything. So the women's side, I just want to see Io. That's it. I just want to see Io Shirai just do some acai moonsaults and just end it. That's it. Just seeing Io and Kairi go at it in the Rumble. That'd be nice. I think in the men's side, just your edges. That's really it, That's really it. So I can't really see many. Nia Jax will be back. Naomi will be back.
Naomi's got to do her. Naomi's got to do something to, stave off elimination, like her doing her best Kofi Kingston impersonation. She's got to keep that going.
Well, that's the thing. And then on the men's side, you're going to have dueling, maybe even a triple threat of jumping back and forth and heroics, acrobatics in and out of the ring. You got Kofi, Morrison's back, and Shelton Benjamin was the first one to do it.
Dude, I'm telling you now, Morrison and Kofi, they're going to have a duel off. Definitely. You're going to have a little show off in there.
Well, we're already moving towards Morrison and Miz versus the New Day, I would imagine, at the next pay-per-view. I thought they were going to do it here.
Mm, I'm excited. I can't wait. It's my favorite pay-per-view. It always has been. Favorite Rumble.
Jilly's nipples.
favorite two Rumbles to this day for me is... Favorite two Rumbles to this day for me is Royal Rumble 91, because that's still my very first pay-per-view I ever watched, and Royal Rumble 95, because my boy HBK won from number one. I'm excited, man.
92 is still my favorite, with a tear in my eye.
In my eye. Put that cigarette out.
That's right.
And on that note, let's close this show up by letting everybody know where they can get us and listen to all of the content that we love to provide for wrestling fans and parents. That's our fan base for the TriCast. Now we added
added the parents to the mix.
We'll get to that shortly. My name is PC Tunney. You can find me at PC Tunney. You can find the DWI podcast at Podcast DWI. You can also check it out on Facebook and Instagram.
At facebook.com/DWI podcast and on Instagram at It's Me DPP.
And that's where you can find DPP at It's Me DPP. He's a scientist. That's a fact. You can also find me on Potus War with Andrew Belaz and Christopher Platt. We were lucky enough. I'm going to brag while I can, because it's going to be far away from 2019 before I know it. We were lucky enough to be nominated by the Wrestling Podcast Awards for Trio of the Year. So go ahead and check that show out. That show at pod_is_war. Those guys are a fucking blast. I know Balls' brother is now doing the NWA stuff. Adam is in there, so we're getting him in there. Another show that I have been plugging the shit out of because I'm so proud to be a part of it, even though I'm not one of the guys on the show. I'm just kind of helping out in the background, and I'm glad to do it because it's with three really good friends of mine. And one of those guys is Big Dave. It's at Bandwagon Nerds on the Twitter. It's all over thechairshot.com. It's everything nerddom. Dave, you, Patrick O'Dowd, and Big Rick, tell us about that, and then finish it off with Attitude of Aggression, baby.
Well, yeah, with Big Rick, you never really know what you're going to get because, you know, he's the guy who spells Ghostbusters with two words, you know, so that tells you all you need to know about Big Rick right there.
Hey, give me them ghosts.
He is the bandwagon in Bandwagon Nerds. But yeah,
who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
That's right. No, I mean, it's a great show. It's a fun show. I mean, we could spend like literally 4 hours every episode talking about nerd stuff. But like I said, we're focusing on our 80s project, which I lived through and still remember some of it. The drugs didn't do away with everything. But it's a good time. Bandwagon Nerds is a lot of fun. Tony's heavily involved in that. Lots of stuff behind the scenes. Lots of good polls every day that we just kind of make up off the top of our head. And as far as Attitude of Aggression, hey, you can check me out on Twitter at AttitudeAg, that is at AttitudeAgg, or Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression, or just go to the damn website, www.AttitudeOfAggression.com. I just want to know, does Kenny have an Instagram account now?
Nah, I don't know Instagram. Man, with no Instagram, you slap nuts, son of a bitch. So why don't you choke on it, you big slap nut? That's awesome. Good segue, Dave. We're just setting us up for that. Kenny, yeah. I know everybody can likely still find you at Kenny Killa on the Twitter. Also, let everybody know what the social media is across the board for the Dadcast real quick.
So, Dadcast is at Dadcast WTMD on all socials. You can find us on YouTube as well.
Now, I want you to tell me two things, and this should give everybody a good idea of what exactly you're doing with the Dadcast, because I know you're doing great work over there. I know you got a lovely family and you're trying to do the best that you can trying to navigate, you know, being a new dad and now two times a dad has been paying attention to you. So do two things for everybody to let everybody know what the show is dealing with. Tell us the last thing you guys covered and tell us the next thing you guys are going to do.
Okay. The last thing we covered. Okay, the last thing we covered on radio, we kind of had a discussion about our children and identity. So in terms of, you know, their looks and how important looks is to them now, you know, because of how society is. So the role social media kind of plays in that at the moment, you know, and as fathers, you know, what do we do to kind of make sure that we kind of keep a lid on things about identity and making sure our children don't, you know, don't kind of look too much on social media and see that person. I think that's, you know, that's real, you know, your Instagram models and that kind of stuff. It's all fabricated. It's not real. And, you know, it's up to us to kind of try and nurture that. So that's the last thing we talked about. The next thing we're doing is I've got money to do an event called Dads Can Do Hair. So on our all of our socials and all of our platforms, we've got feedback from dads that saying that you know, the most anxiety they get is when they have to do their kids' hair, especially during the school run. So we're putting on an event where we'll have four stations where dads can learn about four easy hairstyles, different backgrounds. They'll take away a pack as well with them, different hairstyles, you know, creams, combs, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a family event, so it's for dads, but the family can come as well. And really, really looking forward to doing this. It's been a year in the making and finally got money to do it. So, yeah, looking forward to Dads Can Do Hair.
Real quick, and anybody else can jump in, if we can just two quick minutes here. And it's funny because, you know, you're doing the Dadcast and it's great work and it's a great thing that you're trying to do, awareness about being a really good parent. But what are your thoughts on raising your kids as a wrestling fan? Because obviously you're going to want them to watch wrestling with you. How do you do that? How do you censor that? How do you let that, you know, curiosity grow? And at the same time, you talked about identity. I feel like that's a really good crossover to being like, hey, that's a character someone plays on television. It's a really good way to show kids that what you always see or read isn't that same thing. So wrestling and family, that's really a big, you know, meshed crossover there.
Mm-hmm. So my wife, she didn't want my son to see any kind of wrestling. You know what I mean? She didn't want that. But she understands that obviously there's going to be some point where I'm going to be watching it and he's going to, you know, be intrigued. But to be fair, it's more, you know, my daughter that's intrigued than any of them. You know, I just have it there sometimes in the morning because I watch it in the morning, really, when they're not about what, on my lunch break. So they don't really get to watch it too tough. But in the morning, I'll have it on the tablet and it's just there while I'm ironing their clothes in the morning. And my daughter will just kind of like, she'll just come over and just start watching it, you know, and she'll be like, oh, he fell over, or you know, something like that. And it's more kind of intriguing than anything. It's intriguing. She's not, you know, kind of too fussed. And she gets excited if she see Ricochet doing, you know, a number of backflips and so on and so on. But it's she'll dip in and out while I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's cool. And if that's something that you wanted to watch, then cool. But both my kids are into BTS at the moment, so I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
DP, last brief words.
For what? here's my last words. Nice. Gotta bring back this guy.
Oh, okay, so Cabeza. Okay, so Cabeza is back. Go. All right, you've already taken up way too much time. Go.
Oh, this is it. Oh,
yeah, brother.
I am officially entering myself into the Royal Rumble, and I'll be happy to take on Brock Lesnar at number two and get my ass tossed out in less than 3 seconds. I will set the record.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Chinaman, drop in there, fucking Kiesel Cabeza. Dave, do you have any last words for the TriCast?
Yeah. Kids, don't do crack. There you go.
My last words are, yeah, crack kills. Kenny. Take the TriCast home, brother. I think on behalf of the three of us and all the listeners around the world, we love listening to you talk wrestling. Your enthusiasm and your knowledge is second to none. I know we've learned from you. We got connected with you through to Dave. So this whole show is awesome. Take us home, Kenny.
I just want to say I've loved being back on the show with you guys. You're my wrestling brothers. You know, I don't have much wrestling kind of, you know, friends and stuff like that who are into wrestling. So you guys, I count you as my wrestling brothers. So thank you for getting me back on. I'm always available. Don't worry about that. Get me on the bandwagon as well. I'm your boy, Kenny Killer, back again. I'll always be back for these boys. And you can choke on that slap nuts. Woo!
That felt good.
Really it's like good. Old times, brother.
Yeah. Shut up, Diesel Cabeza.
Can't handle me.